Hey, it's Austin James. If you're like me, trying to live your best life while living with diabetes, you can relate to worrying if you're doing a good job managing your diabetes. I use the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor to get real-time glucose readings and see the impact of every meal and activity to make better decisions. The FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor can help me live life with diabetes on my own terms, and it gives me more time for the things I love, like being a dad and a musician. Now this is progress. Learn more at FreeStyleLibre.us.
For prescription only, safety info found at FreeStyleLibre.us.
It's all about the macro productions.
What does the goddamn line say, Tony?
Please do not use gendered language.
Then what? I'll be arrested, put in airport jail.
Look, you're going completely sideways, man.
It's a big club, and you ain't in it.
How dare you?
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
I'm Chris Hansen with Dave on NBC.
Jack Mary's Tech Theratrix.
I am Spartacus.
Steve Jackson, Sacramento, he, him.
Steven Seagal.
Sex offender guy.
I'm Keith Morris.
This is Muammar Gaddafi.
I'm Rick James, bitch.
Sorting through the lies.
The hijacker's passport was found blocks from the World Trade Center crash site, if you can believe that.
We cannot track $2.3 trillion in transactions.
And uncovering the centuries-long plan for world domination.
Learning about Cuba, having some food.
Let's talk about Chinese people.
Have you ever been in a Turkish prison? Swangles in Fort Lauderdale.
I have sent six of my Libyan missiles to blow up the Sears hardware department.
Nothing could be more fun than jumping off a cliff with two German bisexuals.
Oh, you English are so superior, aren't you?
Thank you, comrade.
And now, macroaggressions.
That's what assholes call it.
With your host.
Buddy, I don't know who you are, but you're about to get chlamydia.
Charlie Robinson.
Hey, Whitey, where's your hat?
You want to drop the blame on Charlie and say it's all Charlie's fault?
He was a retard.
I get some goddamn diuretic.
Welcome to Macroaggressions. I'm your host, Charlie Robinson. If you are watching us on Rumble, fan.video, Vigilante TV, or you're listening wherever podcasts are served, thank you so much. We appreciate your support over the years as we march towards 10 million downloads. We're almost there. Oh my goodness. I thought I was talking to myself for a while. If you want to connect with me, macroaggressions.io is the website that will take you right to find out about the podcasts and the books and the news websites like Activist Post and Natural Blaze. If you haven't bookmarked those, please do. And if you haven't rated the show, my goodness, I've been harping on and on about this. Take 5 seconds to rate the show, for God's sake. We love our sponsors. We appreciate them. Can't do the show without them. So we went out and got good ones for you. That's the deal, right? I make the deal with the audience. You guys, I'll get you good sponsors, but your job is to go over there and check out what they're doing. Tim James and the crew at Chemical Free Body have been with me since the very beginning. They make the best supplements out there. They actually work. Imagine that. I've done the detox bundle on multiple occasions. I highly recommend it for you. I cannot imagine a scenario in which you do the 90-day program and you don't see results. You can see results accidentally, as long as you do that. It's green 85, a green drink in the morning, and a handful of capsules. I'm telling you, it's the easiest thing in the world. But you have to decide that it's time for you to do it, that you're ready to take control of your health. And if you are, go to chemicalfreebody.com/macro, do some shopping, check it out, read up on it. And you know Tim, he's been on this show more than anybody else because he's always got amazing tips on how to improve your life. He saved his life by changing his diet. He can help you too if you are feeling unhealthy. Go to chemicalfreebody.com/macro and check it out. Also, our newest sponsor, Augustin Farms, established in 1972. Wait, I was established in 1972 as well. I knew I liked these guys. It's storable food. I'm telling you, we have hit the jackpot with this one. The greatest storable food company ever. It's the Buc-ee's of storable food. I'm telling you, you go through, they've got everything. There's very specific items. You can get the emergency kits as well, which throws a lot of things in there. But if you were looking for storable food, very specific items of storable food, butter powder, eggs and dairy, fruits and vegetables, meats and proteins, baking mixes, all freeze-dried in bags and buckets that you can purchase right now. The link is down in the show notes. You can go to Augustin Farms, A-U-G-A-S-O-N, Augustin Farms, promo code macro. Take a look. I'm telling you right now, just go over there, browse through what they've got. If you find something you like, the promo code is macro. The link is down in the show notes. Check it out. Well, now that the business is out of the way, it's my pleasure to welcome to the show from Just the Inserts, Alexandra. Hello, Alexandra. What are you doing? How are you? I'm so excited to talk about this. This has been on my calendar for a couple of weeks now, and I'm excited to get to know you. How are you?
I'm so well. Thank you so much for asking me. I cannot wait to get in today.
Yay. Well, one of the things that I like what you guys are doing at Just the Inserts. This is smart. It's making medical info accessible to everyone. And that sounds like kind of an obvious thing to do. And yet we live in this society where the information provided to us is disjointed and nonsensical and written with big words. And during the COVID era, you would open up the inserts and it was literally blank paper. So I appreciate that you guys are able to decipher, translate, however you want to look at this, the complicated world of scientific language and boil it down in a way that everybody can understand. How did you come to, did this come out of solving a problem that you were facing? Were you reading labels and going, what is all this stuff? I don't speak pharmaceutical. You're going to have to translate this for me. Like, how did this all come about?
Well, I am not a medical professional. I'm not a science professional. I would not be doing this if I hadn't needed it for myself and now have a passion to help other people that are in the position that I was in. So I was pregnant with my first child. I now have three children, six, soon to be four and one. And when I was pregnant with my first child, I just never even considered that I should research vaccines ever or any pharmaceutical products. I knew I was naturally minded. So I knew I wanted essential oils in the birth room. And I knew I wanted to have a labor pool. And I wanted to do all these other things. But I didn't necessarily even know that I needed to know about those products. It was never something in my friend group that we talked about. And so when I started being exposed to this world, I, like any good millennial, went to social media and started researching. And I found these like polarizing forces at battle with each other. And one thing that I really didn't like is every single person that I came across, no matter their viewpoint on vaccines, they would use very manipulative, fear-based tactics. And being, you know, studying logical fallacies and things like that, having a business degree, I just really was turned off by all of it. And I kind of disengaged. And unfortunately, that didn't make the problem go away. It just made my time of researching shorter. And then I had to make more immediate decisions when my daughter was finally born. And unfortunately, she was injured by the synthetic vitamin K injection, which technically isn't a vaccine, but it's given at birth. And I know I didn't want to do the Hep B. I thought that was silly. But I was considering at that 2-month well baby visit what I was going to accept or delay or decline. And then when my daughter was injured, she was severely jaundiced, colic, gut issues, liver issues, all these other things. And when I was seeking the advice from pediatricians, I was getting scoffed at and I was getting just a lot of negative energy really from these pediatricians, because here I was trying to heal my daughter from an obvious injury. I didn't know exactly at the time what it was, but they were just upset with me that I wasn't accepting more vaccines. I was focused on healing her and they were just upset that I wasn't giving her more. So I got kicked out of a few. I left a few. I think I ended up through the course of the first 6 months of her life going to at least four pediatricians. And finally, I found a family doctor in my area And she had been a pediatrician for over a decade, and then her nephew suffered an adverse reaction to vaccines. So she left the pediatric practice, created her own family doctor practice, and then was serving clients in the area, of course, not within network. And it took, I think, about 3 months to be on her wait list for me to finally see her. And I'm sitting in the office and I'm talking to her, and she said, well, have you read the vitamin K insert? And at this point, I had already been reading inserts for vaccines because I knew there had to be some kind of documentation for every product on the market. And I went home and I read the vitamin K insert, and I just dropped to my knees and prayed to God that the fatal reactions that were listed on those inserts didn't happen to my daughter. I was mad and I was angry that here there's something that's sitting on the FDA website that verifies my lived experience with my daughter. And I went to all of these experts and they didn't know about them, and they weren't providing me insight that they supposedly are heavily trained to provide. And so I was mad, I was upset, and I was sad. And so to deal with all of this anguish and to deal with all of this frustration, I decided to start sharing my research. And by that point, COVID kind of hit the world, and because I started researching in mid-2019, and then COVID happened, and then it just became more and more apparent that this is what I needed to do. And so I started sharing my research on Instagram, and it blew up. I mean, everybody was just hungry for this information, and I stuck with just .gov information. That was something that I was really, really, really passionate about, because you can't fight what the government says about their own products that they regulate. You can't fight what the manufacturer says, because if the manufacturer is stating that sudden infant death syndrome is a known potential adverse reaction to Infanrix, which is the DTaP vaccine, and then it's given at 2-4 6-month-old babies, which according to the National Institutes of Health states is the highest risk for SIDS in American babies, you can't fight with that. There's no conspiracy theory there. Like, that's fact. And so as I was sharing all this information for .gov resources, I started getting some warnings from Instagram. And it was all for .gov resources that I was sharing. And then finally, a week before the COVID-19 vaccine mandate, I was deleted for sharing a .gov study, and I wasn't allowed to join back until 8 months later, ironically enough, when Elon Musk bought Twitter and became X. And so I slowly have been rebuilding, and it's amazing. I was deleted at 148,000 followers on Instagram, and just yesterday we hit 249,000, which is just incredible that there's still a huge community out there. We're still hungry for information, and we just want to be informed consumers. That's really what it boils down to.
Is that so wrong? Right? we just want info. You know, that's the thing that makes me insane about this, is that I don't have to make up my thoughts about vaccines. Like you said, it's all in their own documentation. This is verbal judo. This is using the weight and momentum of their own words against them. This is what you should be doing. It's one thing if you say, well, I'm quoting some, you know, obscure book, or I'm looking at a quote from Rudolf Steiner 100 years ago talking about how vaccines sever your connection to the spirit and things like that. Like, I think all those things are extremely interesting and things you should know, but you're not going to win an argument with it. But .gov documentation, when you show that to somebody, they have nowhere to go. What is the pushback? Because I have had these conversations, I guess is the best way to put it, about vaccines with people who do not want to understand the information. They've dug in. They've made up their mind. They're not changing their mind. But what I've noticed is that I can present them with authentic information and it does nothing to them. And it reminds me of Yuri Bezmenov, former KGB spy, talking about the demoralization process and how you put them into a four-step process. And in that fourth step, the normalization process, after you've broken somebody down, he says, I can shower them with authentic information and it won't matter. It won't change their mind. They have been demoralized. Do you find that when you get into these conversations with people, maybe arguments, that they don't want the information you're giving them? They just want to argue and defend their own position, that this isn't a conversation or a dialogue. It's more like a monologue.
Yeah, I've gotten a lot better at gauging the interest and the perspective of someone who's approached me. I call them heated conversations, and I get a lot of them. And especially in the beginning when I was posting during COVID, I was posting about the COVID vaccines before they were even emergency use authorized. I was posting about the limitations of effectiveness. I was posting ACOG's donor reports and how they were receiving funding from Pfizer and Johnson & Johnson. I was doing all of these things and, of course, citing all my research. And so I got a lot of heated comments. But through that process, it really refined me in how I can spot out some of the perspectives of when someone reaches me, if they are genuinely interested, if they genuinely have experienced an inconsistency in their workplace, because most of the heated people are healthcare providers or people that work in the science communities. And then I'm able to kind of discern, do I want to spend so much time where I'm just kind of throwing stuff at the brick wall, or can I can maybe cultivate a really positive and productive conversation? So for those, and also too, I mean, let's be real, there's bots and all these other things. So if I sense that somebody is not interested in what I have to say or interested in maybe learning an outside perspective, then I say, okay, thank you for your time. There's no requirement to follow and kind of leave it at that. But if I do see like a little glimmer where I can start having those conversations with them, then I just share the .gov resources. I have a free training course on my website that takes 2 to 3 hours long, no email required, and it goes through everything on the FDA website, everything from what the CDC talks. And I talk about not only the inserts, but what informed consent truly is, because many of these professionals have been taught that informed consent is just a checkbox. It's just a signature on a legal form, and they don't understand and honor and respect the medical ethics of what informed consent truly is in action. And so that course kind of, I even take it from the American Medical Association's Code of Medical Ethics. And I talk about how they actually have a good definition of informed consent, but it's not in at large in practice being offered to every single person for every single medical product. And then I go through the FDA training on an insert, because many of these people will come at me with something that they happen to Google, and or maybe they put it in Chat GPT to kind of counter anything that I might have said. And then I show them, look, this is what the FDA says. There are several criteria that an adverse reaction has to meet before it's added into the post-marketing adverse reaction section. So this means every single adverse reaction that has been listed has some correlation and causation tied to it. And we need that more transparency, and we should advocate for that more transparency. So I try to find places that we can agree upon, and then I try to gently encourage them to research a little bit more on their own. And I'll even say, hey, I challenge you to find what I'm doing wrong. I challenge you to provide a .gov resource to counter what I'm saying. And most of the time, if I know that they're not going to agree with me, they won't even respond and they'll block me. But 9 times out of 10, other than that, they'll come back and say, this is really interesting. I need to take some time and really dwell in this. I need to find some more research. And I've had some people that were extremely hostile towards me that are now my fiercest advocates. And now they like write down my website on a slip of paper and give it to their patients, because they don't want to verbally say it. They don't want to get in trouble, but they'll give it to their patients. And one thing I've kind of now shifted from, now that I'm on the sixth year of doing this, is for those people that are so adamant that they are right and there could be no other perspective than their own, my goal is to shift the culture and cocoon them around with people who do understand that there is a human right element to informed consent, and that vaccines are not exactly what we've been taught in the pharmaceutical marketing department, and that our own government and even our own pharmaceutical manufacturers disclose these things about them. And hopefully we'll just kind of like flank them on all sides and maybe that'll change their mind. I don't know. But now I'm in the business of just shifting the culture and getting more and more people to realize that informed consent is a human right. We should be able to accept a layer decline any or all medical products, including vaccines.
And you would think that nobody would want to argue with you about informed consent. And yet, and then here we are. And I've found this with a lot of people that are, they mean well. They we're all coming at this from the same hopefully we're all coming at this from the same place, which is we want what's best for children first and foremost and for adults. And we don't want to be lied to. And we think it is our right to be able to dig into the science behind the products. If you say they're safe and effective, show me, homie. You know, I mean, I'm not going to take your word for it. You're all convicted felons. you guys are running a criminal drug cartel. You can't just tell me it's safe and effective. I mean, I put you in the same I put Pfizer in the same category as the Sinaloa cartel. It's just that they don't hang bodies from the bridges. Instead, they bury you with documents and pretend like your child didn't die from vaccines and make up some category and call it SIDS and play that whole game with mothers for decades and decades and make them feel like they're going crazy about this. It's so frustrating to me because you would think that some of these barriers would come down with people where it's like, we're talking about children here, man. What are we arguing about? Like, I'm trying to show you that you're being poisoned and you want to argue with me about whether or not you're being poisoned. I can never understand. Don't you think that you would, if somebody came to me and said, I have evidence that you are currently being poisoned right now, covertly, without your knowledge, my response would be, show me what you got. Like, you're talking about, okay, and maybe you're right, maybe you're wrong, but like, show me what you've got. Let's go through it. The incurious minds of these people. Boy, I'll tell you, you think you're getting a lesson in vaccines and immunology and things like that. You're really getting a lesson in human psychology, aren't you? Because if you deal with these people over and over again, you have to be a bit of a psychologist or at least have a strategy when dealing with folks, right?
Oh my gosh, I feel like you probably see the background of my screen right now because I have been working on this new project that I truly think is going to be a game changer, and it's all psychology. So what I've been working on is called the Vaccine Perspective Spectrum, and it's from those with like high trust and high confidence and high compliance in the medical system all the way to those who completely reject it, have opted out of the system, opt for natural immunity, all those things. I think you probably can assume where I'm at on that spectrum. But I have 13 different perspectives that I've vetted out through the last 6 years of talking with people. And as I'm going through this, and I've provided like a quiz, an interactive quiz that will be for free. Hopefully it'll be available by the time this episode airs. And then they can identify what their perspective is. But the real goal is this, I've created a connection guide. So if someone is interested, maybe they're having a really hard time with a family member or a loved one who has been following, Dr. Paul Offit or someone else, a science communicator on Instagram, and they are just so captured by that narrative and so just emotionally swooned by the desire to protect the vulnerable and to have a society where a disease can be eradicated. If they are so captured by that idea, how are some ways that maybe you can communicate to them and maybe you can start to build a little bit of a bridge to talk with them and discuss those things? And as I've been writing these, it's all psychology. I mean, it is all so much of how someone perceives health, immunity, the medical system, the government, all these other things are so much interplaying together. And it's really, really hard to have just one conversation in an elevator with someone about vaccines because it is so complicated. And one thing that I have found as I've been doing this, I call them the mandate enforcing advocates for them. I actually think a lot of them, not all, but I think a lot of them have some kind of unprocessed trauma from medical school where they were exposed to a child or an individual that was suffering from some kind of disease complication. And they have now been kind of trauma bonded with that disease. And so anyone that has any question to the singular product that they believe to be the solution to prevent that disease and that complication is the enemy. And I actually think that if maybe they would take a little bit more time to process that, even working with a therapist, maybe they'll be more open to the limitations of effectiveness sections on that product that says, hey, from the manufacturer, not everybody who takes this product is going to be protected. And many times I've talked with different like immunologists or something, they're told a very tragic story of Roald Dahl and how he was a fierce advocate of measles containing vaccines because his daughter passed away tragically from encephalitis, which was a complication to measles. And this was before a measles vaccine was even available. So once it became available, he was a fierce advocate and he penned this incredibly moving letter, just urging parents to get it. And I so quickly want to judge him, but also I don't understand the pain of losing a child. And so I don't want to judge him for grasping onto something that he might have given maybe if he had that hope. That's a really complicated emotion. Yeah. And so now I've kind of, I guess, matured a little bit to try to see the passion and the intention and maybe try to find different ways that we can bridge that gap. It's probably impossible for some people, but I think for the next generation, and the more that I talk to Gen Z people, I've had a few of them on my podcast, I think they're really open to a different perspective because they lived through COVID. I mean, one woman that I interviewed, she missed a third of her senior year of high school because she was unvaccinated. But every single time that she tested positive for COVID, she had to stay home for 2 weeks, even though she was healthy. And most of the time, the other people that got COVID that she was around that exposed it to her were vaccinated, which is just bonkers.
Right. But not surprising too.
Right.
Because I think if you've lived through that, the authoritarian component of COVID, the fear campaign, the 6 feet, you know, one direction down a grocery store aisle, all the insane messaging, it felt like it scrambled a lot of people's brains, you know, the people going through the grocery store with the 5 gallon bucket like on their head, you know,
like, my favorite. Whoa. Have you seen the compilation of all the people that what they did? Like there were people in scuba masks. There were right. People. Oh,
look, it's Jacques Cousteau in aisle 4. I
mean, oh my gosh,
the whole thing was just preposterous. I felt like, is this an IQ test on top mm-hmm. of being the, you know, like what are we doing here? You mentioned Paul Offit. If I were debating somebody who was bringing Paul Offit facts into the conversation, I would just pull up his patent on the vaccines yes. that he owns and say, here you go. That gentleman has a vested financial interest in making sure that you're vaccinated. So yep. if we're going to talk apples and oranges here, like let's drag some information out into the light and show it for who it is. A lot of these people have a financial interest in making sure that you're vaccinated. Like yep. let's not make it too complicated for it. Paul Offit took the money. And that's why
I love it when vaccinated. Absolutely. I actually love it when I get accused of grifting or anything like that, because then it opens that door. I'm like, well, actually, if you're concerned about potential financial conflicts of interest, let's talk about it. Let's talk about the CDC's ACIP and how there are financial waivers that are okayed by the FDA. Let's talk about all of these other people that are financially invested in vaccine uptake. Let's talk about the CDC Foundation and how they receive funding from pharmaceutical industries or companies that go towards vaccine awareness campaigns. How is that not ethical?
It's bonkers. The guy who's setting the vaccine schedule at the CDC goes to Pfizer. You know, I mean, the revolving yes. door component of this is it should any normie could take a look at this and you could say, like, let's take the science out of it just for a moment. Let's take the science out. Look at the behavior of these people. Is this compatible with how you would act if you were in the middle of an actual pandemic? Would you change the definition of vaccination in the middle yep. of a pandemic? You don't think that there are bigger fish to fry or other priorities that we could focus on? You guys took an extraordinary step of changing the definition of vaccination. Why did you do that? You know, and I, you know, you have that conversation with the normie. They go, what are you talking about? Does that happen? That happened? And you go, yeah, there's a lot of things during that era that happened that the media didn't report on, that people blocked out, or they never saw. You know, the lies that were told during COVID were astronomical, but the lies of omission might have been even more devious, right?
Right. Well, my website was blocked from all Department of Defense computers during that time. I'm a military veteran, and so I still have friends that are in the military, and they were saying, "Hey, I was on your website because I had linked some exemption forms that were helpful for other military members," and they said, "I can't get it. I can't access it. I can get it from my phone, from my personal phone, my personal computer, but I can't access it." I said, "Wow, that's an accomplishment for a website to be completely every single Department of Defense computer blocked my website," which is very ironic because I cite solely from .gov resources.
I feel like I'm
I know, it's mind-blowing. You have to laugh or you cry, honestly, at this point.
Well, you've done something smart, too, is that you've also sort of branched off into other drugs that aren't necessarily vaccines, but people want a little bit of information about. We've got Botox, you know, and that situation. We've got Ozempic. Everybody's talking about Ozempic and the versions of it that are out there. And everyone's like, "Hey, look, I mean, ends justify the means. Look at all this weight I lost." And then, well, you know, what do the studies say? Like, did you read the inserts to that? Right. So are you getting a lot of traction with the demographic that is indifferent to vaccines, but really interested in these new fangled weight loss drugs?
Yes, absolutely. I would say actually get asked about it more often now. Than vaccines. I get asked about that. I get asked about Miralax because Miralax is used off-label for children. On the insert, it says, "Do not use this for children," yet we have pediatricians. One woman messaged me, her pediatrician recommended it for her 5-week-old, which is just absolutely, I think, should be evident for malpractice, in my opinion. But I get asked about acetaminophen. I get asked about Botox. I get asked about epidurals, Pitocin. I get asked about, oh gosh, just so many different things. And you can really start to tell when there are marketing campaigns or public health campaigns for a certain product, because then I will start to get an increase of questions about them. And so I've recently been getting a lot of questions about meningitis, which I think there's recently been a push about it. So all the meningococcal vaccines, I'll get asked about that. I'll get asked about Rogam a lot, is a big one, because those are recommended to pregnant women in the late second trimester, early third trimester, which is really, really, really alarming. I'll just take a second to hit on this, because I just had a pharmacist on my podcast that I talked with her, and she is really heavily invested in the blood research on how mRNA potentially, we don't know, we don't have the data, because there's only, I think, an 18-month study, that's the longest that we have, or maybe it's 19 months now, of how mRNA, the spike proteins, is still present in the blood after being vaccinated. And we don't have any research on if there is a blood product that has been potentially procured from someone who's been exposed to synthetic mRNA, how that might have an effect on our own bodies. So if we have opted out of mRNA products and then we go, or vaccines, and then we go get a biologic, there is a high likelihood that we are now exposing ourselves to that synthetic mRNA. So that's something really important that I think a lot of people need to be taught about. And so I'll get a lot of questions about that as well. I have a pro-informed consent provider directory, and we just added over 100 bloodless providers to the directory. So these are the providers that will practice bloodless medicine. So basically taking your own blood in a surgery, or if some of them are even in emergency situations, they will gently suction and harvest your blood, clean it, and then give it back to you, which is probably the safest alternative to a blood transfusion.
Whoa. And there's you have a network, you have put together a network of where you can find all these places?
Yes. Actually, there's a few different directories out there, but they are specific more to Jehovah's Witnesses, which I didn't realize they've been practicing bloodless medicine for decades. But there are now... Cool. I know. I just learned about this recently, just the last few months. It's been fascinating. And it's crazy because a lot of these bloodless providers are in really, really big hospitals, but they aren't marketed. And when I was talking with this pharmacist, she suggested that it was because it was more cost effective and it was much more lower in budget to do this than getting a blood transfusion, which I thought was pretty interesting.
Wow. And you have a premium function on your site that allows people to search a directory of providers, right?
Yes, it's just $7 a month.
It's so smart that you're doing this, because I don't know how many times people are like, where can I, like, is there like a place I can go and find all this? Like, I live in this state, or I've got a friend in this city, and they're looking for it. And how do we do? So you've compiled all this into one database where people can find it. So tell us a little bit about that.
Yes. And it's custom and it's protected. I don't sell any data. It's not infiltrated by any other AI or anything like that. It is something that we have custom coded. And I have a team of three people that work 20 hours a week calling different providers, vetting them, ensuring that they have all opted in to honor informed consent. So they allow their patients to accept, or they collaborate with their patients to accept, delay, or decline any or all medical products, including vaccines. Mm-hmm. And that's something that was really important to me, because as I was starting to talk with especially parents that are in very, very hard situations, like single parenting, or maybe they're in a custody battle or something like that, and they're really, really struggling with a vaccine decision. They wouldn't want to get it, but they are being externally forced into it because of a mandate or because of school immunization laws or anything like that. And so I wanted to create this really, really aesthetically pleasing and easy to use, high functionality resource that I could say, here, try this, see if there's someone near you. And maybe then they can find a provider that will support them in their journey and help them a little bit more, and not receive so much shame and judgment from their pediatrician on making a more informed decision for them and their families, and to be able to navigate that, whatever challenge might be. And I told my husband, I was like, I would love to do this for free, but I also have to pay other people to go and do this. And so it does unfortunately have to be a $7 charge, because I also get charged for querying. But when you can get in there, you can search and find your provider. It's 30 days access, and then you can cancel it. We have a little cancel button in the bottom of the footer. And so then you can find it, cancel it, or maybe you're moving, or maybe you're traveling and you want to know, in case of an emergency, if there's any providers in your area, then you have someone. So you're not at the mercy of whatever urgent care pops up in your Google search.
Well, if you do cancel it after 1 month, then you have to tell your friends about it then.
Yeah. Yes. That would be great.
this is, like I said, I think it's really necessary to have this database, this list of resources for pediatricians out there, because I did what a lot of people did, which is we had moved to a new town with a new baby. And it's like, well, we're just going to play roulette. Like, let's just go to this pediatrician and see what he says, right? Like, let's just see. So the first one we went into, waiting room filled with sick kids, not a great sign. And I get it. You're at the doctor's, so you're going to see sick kids at the doctor sometimes, but every kid is sick. Like, I walked in, I was like, is there a second waiting room we can go in where I don't have to be, you know? So then we get pulled into the room. First time I've ever met the pediatrician. Hey, how are we doing on vaccines now? Mm-hmm. And I go, well, we're on a bit of a delayed schedule, which was a code word for we're not doing. And he goes, and I swear to you, I've told this story a million times, but it caught me off guard. He goes, what's the matter? You don't trust the government? And I go, no, I thought he was kind of kidding. And he had, you know, the lab coat and the clipboard. He did the whole thing. He goes, all right, well, now I know what I'm working with here. And like takes my chart and starts writing something down. I grab my wife's hand. And I go, it's time for us to go.
No, yeah. Thank you for it your doesn't time. Have to be we're like leaving. That.
No.
It's ridiculous. It's no, and I
shouldn't. It would have saved us a lot of time had we had that resource. And eventually we found a doctor, but still talking to the pediatrician that we wound up with who was on, you know, we said we don't want to do any of the show. She was like, that's fine. But that was like, I felt like I was trying to do a drug deal in some alley. So I was like, hey, you got what I need?
Yeah,
like
right.
We're talking in code to each other. We're like, you know, are we good? Yeah, we're good. We're good. Okay, good. We're good.
You know? Yeah. And that's the culture that I am trying to change, because I cannot sleep at night thinking of that. The situation, I mean, I remember that when I was dealing with my daughter's injury and the pediatrician was pushing so hard the Hep B vaccine, so hard, and which I have a lot to say about that, but she was pushing it really hard. And I said, and finally, I was just so sleep deprived, and my daughter's like crying in my hands, and my husband's trying to figure it out. And she said, and so finally, I just said, well, my daughter's not sexually active. She's not doing drugs, so we don't need it. And then I remember she told this story. She said, well, if your great uncle Albert with dry, cracked lips and undiagnosed Hep B kissed her on the lips, she could die. And I remember looking at her and I looked at my husband and we kind of just laughed because we were like, that's what you want to say? That's where you're going. That's what you went with. Okay, interesting. So we left and I was like, we are never going there again, which was unfortunate because it was like I could just throw a stone to it from my house. It would have been so convenient to go there. I had all my friends went there and it wasn't worth it for us. So I've slowly realized over the years through calling providers and trying to just go through all their social media and all their websites, trying to find, okay, are they going to respect my decision? Are they going to actually be good and spend the appointment talking about what I'm really there for and not just trying to push something that I've already declined? And it took a lot of heartache and a lot of stress and anxiety. And so I actually have lots of free resources in my training course and on my website on how to find a provider, even say, you know, you don't have $7 to spend on it, or there might not be a provider. I have a screenshot of the map before you join so you can see if there's any providers in your area before you join. Say there isn't one. I give advice on different articles and different resources on how to vet people in your area, and even phone scripts to call and say, okay, this is something that maybe will help you in your journey in trying to find someone, because that's something I had to deal with on my own. And it just pains me to think of, especially a new mom, trying to make this decision on her own, or dealing with all of the just negative emotions from family members or social media, and to be able to have that resource is something I desperately wanted.
Yeah, you never want to feel like it's a sales pitch, you know, from the mm-hmm. pediatrician. It's like, buddy, 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 you know, like a kiosk at the mall you're walking by. Like, buddy, buddy, yeah. Let me shine your shoes. You know, I got this motion for your shoes. Like, no, I'm good on the right. DTAP. I don't need it. We're fine. You know, but if you don't stand up for yourself, they'll steamroll you. And mm-hmm. what I've found, which is crazy and insane, but also true, is that the majority of pediatricians don't know very much about vaccines. Which you would think they would be, you'd think that would be right in their wheelhouse, that they could tell you the ins and outs of it. Talk about a group of people who need to read the inserts. Mm-hmm. Holy moly, the doctors are so uneducated about the thing that they're selling to their patients. And it's crazy to me. Do you find that you do a better job of explaining the vaccine schedule than the pediatricians do?
I don't want to toot my own horn, but yes, because I've read most of the CDC training to it. And I've also learned about the historical facts of how the CDC schedule has come to be. And I understand the National Childhood Vaccine Injury Act of 1986 and how there was amendment done in 1993 about the vaccine information statements, and how the vaccine information statements that are legally required because of that act were no longer required to be as robust as the inserts to save the provider time and money. And so understanding the structure or the format of the VISs and the inserts and how they differ, and how the great example is, I always go back to DTAP. If you are a parent and you're in the office for the well baby visit and they hand you the vaccine information statement for DTaP and they say, this is the vaccine your child's getting today, it'll say, you know, very small at the bottom, some small text that says there in rare situations there's a risk for serious injury or death. However, if you go and look at the DTaP InfanRex insert, that's where it says sudden infant death syndrome is a known potential adverse reaction. So if I was a parent and I saw SIDS listed, then I would be a little bit more alert and I would ask some more questions. But that can differ because of the ACIP, committee in CDC. They can vote to differ from the insert. So because I have done all this external research and I actually understand these documents and how they've come to be, I would say, yes, I probably am a little bit more educated on it. And I will say too, whenever somebody's just like super, super heated in my DMs and they're saying, well, what are your credentials? You're not a medical professional. You're not this, you're not that. I will tell them I have had over 10,000 hours, not an exaggeration and probably a very conservative estimate, on researching inserts, vaccines, and this industry. So yes, I actually am an expert in this because I have spent so much time researching it and I have learned everything that I have learned from a .gov resource. And so I will happily talk with you and debate with you, but there's no need to discredit what I say just because I'm not a medical professional, because I actually have hundreds of medical professionals that have told me that they don't research this.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the appeal to authority, you know.
Right. Exactly.
The response. This is not limited to the United States. Obviously, this was a global phenomenon that's happening everywhere. Do you get people reaching out to you from internationally that are saying, I'm here in Europe. Help. What do I do? Like, I understand you're in America, but like, do you have resources for this? What's the international community flavor? Like,
it actually breaks my heart a little bit because I wish I could serve them better than what I currently can, just because I'm not aware of their medical systems. But I get a lot of people from Canada, a lot of people from Canada. I get a lot of people from Australia. I get a lot of people from the UK. Those are my three main ones that I get a lot of questions from. And then sprinkled all throughout the world. I mean, I've had, if you go onto my website stats and you can see all the people who have come to the website, we've had over 1 million people come. And it's just all these little dots all over the world, which is fascinating, because why do inserts matter? Inserts matter because informed consent. Informed consent is a basic human right. And so everything that I'm speaking to is a natural human inclination. We have that nature to want to know about a product before we accept it for ourselves and our families. And so for the international community, I'm able to serve them in the concepts of informed consent and having a collaborative, respectful relationship with you and your healthcare provider. But the more specifics, I specifically cater to, obviously, United States, because I'm citing from the CDC and FDA. Now, I have been told by many of them that a lot of the products are similar. They might be different trade names or marketing names, but many of the products are the same.
Well, it's not just limited to vaccines, of course. What about medical devices? I mean, these are something, this is an area that a lot of people have become reliant on. CPAP machines on their mouth, mm-hmm. and things like that. And now we're getting into a world of wearable devices and implantables and things like that. I don't know if that I really am going to believe what the insert says for the Neuralink. Yeah. They're trying to implant in my brain that killed all the monkeys. I'm sorry. I'm just going to have to see that insert in bold, large font.
Right. And read that. So, I haven't.
What do you do with devices? I mean, is that an avenue that you cover as well?
That is something that I definitely want to shift my focus on once I kind of I'm really trying to just help that mom in that pediatrician's office, give her as many tools as possible. But I have done a few, like I did some research on masks. Lip fillers are actually technically considered a device. So I have covered those as well. And then I've also covered on my Instagram, I need to transfer it to my website, but I've covered on my Instagram continuous glucose monitors, which I actually did not realize. It's not necessarily, I mean, we could discuss the EMF exposure, but I did not realize that there is a real and valid concern with hacking into it. And so it says that on the insert that if you are around somewhere to make sure that you're not around unsecure networks, because people can hack into that and get your health data. So that's something that I think is really important if you're going to be getting a continuous glucose monitor, to read that part of the insert.
Holy moly. Could you imagine some hacker in Pakistan is dug into your heart valve system and is, you know, holding you hostage? My friend, send me Bitcoin.
Give me some Google credits. It's terrifying. The more that I research, I wouldn't really consider myself a huge conspiracy theorist, but the more that I have researched, the more I'm thinking, oh my gosh, I want to get back to the flip phone. I was actually researching the other day how to put a landline back in my house. And it's not necessarily anything that I've been radicalized by the internet. It's from reading the inserts that have made me start to question more.
I'll put you in touch with my friends over at Above Phone, get you a de-Googled phone.
That sounds nice.
Yeah, that's not filled with all of that. It's a shame that we have to think this way, right? You know, but they've done it to themselves. I mean, I would have been a trusting sheep, just doing what I was told, had it not been for the pharmaceutical industry acting like lunatics and acting in a way that is reprehensible. And it forces people who are paying attention to start to dig in and start and ask questions about this. It's like, well, wait, why am I taking, I'm taking health advice from the head of HHS, who's a man dressed as a woman during the Biden administration. Like that in and of itself, it's like, can we just talk about the preposterousness of this whole thing? Like I'm supposed to take that seriously. And you're telling me to stay, 2 weeks to flatten the curve and you've got a transgendered admiral running your, the whole thing, it's cartoonish, but.
Well, even at the state level too. I mean, if you looked at all the health people, they were all severe. And I struggle with my own health too. Like I have things that I'm not perfect, but if you're in the health industry and you're leading your state's health department, you probably need to be up and up on the whole health thing. You need to at least look healthy, have a little bit more vitality.
Yeah. I wonder, in the future, I know you said you want to help the moms in the pediatrician's office. And I think that obviously that's the priority, because once you make a mistake on that level, then there's no undoing it. But for the moms whose kids are now maybe a little bit older, is there any sort of potential that you're going to expand into just the labels? Start doing food labels, because there's a lot of poison in food labels, and there's a lot of moms out. Well, there's a lot of people in general, but moms specifically that are looking at these labels, and it's kind of the same thing as the vaccine inserts. Like, I don't know what these words mean, and they've changed. You know, high fructose corn syrup doesn't show up as that anymore. It's now called something else, and that decision was made, I don't know, 2 years ago, and nobody sent me a memo on it. And so now I'm looking at the label, and I'm thinking, well, at least there's not high fructose corn syrup, but there it is, right there. It's called something else. So is that I'm not trying to put more work on your plate.
No, I'm actually
busy, but
no, I love that you said that, because I actually have a section of my website for every pharmaceutical that I have covered. If you scroll all the way down, I think I have probably about 40% of them done, but my goal is to have all of them done, is to have a just the alternative section. And so it is things that, because I believe informed consent, an element of informed consent is that you understand all the options available to you, not necessarily the only options that your pediatrician might be exposed to, but the entire breadth of options available to you on the market, whether that be pharmaceutical, natural, whatever you want to talk about it being. And so I have started to do a lot more research and other products that could help you in your goal and preventing a disease or treating a disease or a condition. And so I'll talk about Miralax for a second. So like for the Miralax one, I'll have, I actually partnered with that one pharmacist that I was talking to. She has since left the pharmacy world, but she understands the mechanism of Miralax and the effectiveness of it. And then so she has taken other natural products on the market and recommended things that would be good to use in replacement of or in complementary use of Miralax. And then she talks about different things that you can do for your lifestyle and different foods that you can have. And I love that you actually brought up food, because I personally believe that food is a form of medicine. And many times, when I'm talking with someone, they say, okay, if I don't get this vaccine, what do I do? What's my alternative to a vaccine? I said, well, a healthy lifestyle, using food to nourish your body, having healthy sleep hygiene, ensuring your stress levels are lower, ensuring that you aren't exposing yourself to environmental toxins, getting outside, getting that vitamin D. Like, there are so many things that you could do that are free and cheap, and you don't have to go to a pediatrician's office for. That's the alternative. That's the alternative to you getting a vaccine. And so I have had these different sections, and hopefully planting some seeds for people that might think that they only have this singular option to disease prevention and disease and treatment. And then I also have Just the Alternatives on Instagram, where I go through one of the things that I personally believe some people who get vaccines don't have adverse reactions. And I think a lot of it has to do with our toxic burden. And some people that maybe they don't have an immediate adverse reaction, but if they continue to have it and they continually to follow the schedule, maybe they don't have it on the first dose, but maybe the third dose, or maybe when they're 4 or 5 or later on, and they've now been exposed to so many things in our food and the pharmaceuticals, and they are on antibiotics all the time because they have ear infections and they have all these other things. What does that look like? And so in the Just the Alternative section, I also talk about the toxins in our products that we use in our home, in our body care products, in our soap, and all these other things. And here, maybe these are some options. Maybe let's not put aluminum in our armpits, which is a major lymph exposure. Maybe there's other things that we can do. And really, my heart and soul is in that mom, because I know that she's being inundated. And I believe it's like 80% of the commercial decisions that are made, or consumer decisions that are made in the family, are made by the mom. And so I really, really hound on that, but it can be for anybody. Anybody can learn from all this stuff that I've researched in that avenue.
It's real frustrating, though. You take your child into the pediatrician's office and you think you're doing the right thing, and then they develop an adverse reaction. Maybe that turns into a form of autism. And now, as a mom, you have to learn everything there is to know about autism immediately.
Yeah, it's heartbreaking.
You can't be wrong. And it's overwhelming, and it never ends. It's not like, mm-hmm. Oh, well, he's going to be autistic until he turns 18. Then he's going to leave the house and be totally fine. It's like, no. This is going to be this is a forever thing. And there's nothing more expensive than regret, right? If you wish you'd done something different and you just didn't know. And they make this information so hard to find.
Yeah.
I'm glad that you're out there making it easier to find, that you're doing it in a way that's logical and reasonable and very, very laid out. I mean, you're transparent about everything that you're doing. This is where I'm getting it. You know, you're making it accessible to people. You're doing what you say you're going to do and your core values. And here you are. So I think it's, I wish we didn't have to do this. I guess it's kind of the real sort of underlying theme is that I wish we didn't have to do any of this. I wish I was doing podcasts about football. But it's just, this is when I see kids being targeted, moms, you know, preying on the goodness of people, of moms, you don't want your child to grow up and be sick and die from a preventable childhood disease, do you? Bad
do
parent
it for grandma.
Your award. And you're like, God, no, I don't. You're like, well, then here, do this. You know, here's this medicine. And you won't get criticized for taking it, because all of the moms around you probably took it too. So you have the safety of the herd, you know, psychologically, but I don't want to be in the herd. And I don't think that it's safe to be a part of this. And it just feels very evil what they've done to us.
It starts to really hit me hard when you spoke about the pediatrician's office that you went to and they were all sick kids. When I was in that search of trying to find a provider that would help me, one of the offices that we went to was closer to I live outside of DC, and it was closer to DC, and every single child in there had some kind of neurological damage. And it was heartbreaking to me. And I remember having to change my daughter's diaper, and we went into the diaper and there was an adult sized changing table. And it just broke my heart. And this is the culture. This is what we're going towards. And even at my church, they create an entire wing of special needs children. When was that ever part of society where you needed an entire wing of volunteers that are trained to handle special needs children at church. That is just incredibly devastating. And every single time I'm exposed, when I'm in Kohl's and I see onesies for 5, 10-year-olds that zip the onesies because they don't want children to self-harm. Like, when I see that, it just reminds me and it inspires me over and over again that this is important work. Shifting this culture is incredibly important because we have to stop the status quo. We have to change the direction that our society and our culture is going, because these children are suffering and these parents are suffering. And it's just absolutely heartbreaking to me. And so when I get those heated messages from someone, I'm kind of like, okay, I can understand your perspective. I want to have a collaborative conversation, but also there's more important work to be done. Right. There are kids that need to be saved right now. And so that's kind of where I'm at the point now. If I know that we can't have a productive conversation, I'll say, okay, have a great day, bye, and move on.
Yeah, there's plenty of more of work to be done out there. What for anyone that's been listening to this that has questions and they want to reach you, or they want to get on board with this, or they want to sign up for Just the Inserts training course or anything like that, where would you tell, what's the best way for them to get a hold of you?
Everything is at justtheinserts.com. If you go to justtheinserts.com, click the menu, you'll see the training course there. You'll see find a provider. That's how you can find the pro-informed consent provider directory. And then hopefully by the time this airs or shortly after, I will also have the vaccine perspective quiz. You can take it, see where you land on the spectrum, see some opportunities that maybe you can build connections with other people in your circle of influence. And I just ask that no matter what, that you just have the mental conversation with yourself. Are you going to influence culture, or are you going to let it influence you? And really sit with that and make that decision, because all of the things that I have on my website are designed for you, but please join me in helping shift this culture.
That's Alexandra, everybody. Go to justtheinserts.com. Support her amazing and outstanding work. Share it with somebody who you think might need this information. It's not going to get sent to them by the government. You know that. So it's going to be up to us to, if you find something that you like here and you think that it will benefit somebody, take the additional step of sharing it. Send this episode to anybody who you think might be interested in listening to it. If you want to connect with me, macroaggressions.io is the website for that. Thanks, everybody. We'll talk to you again soon.
Hey, it's Austin James. If you're like me, trying to live your best life while living with diabetes, you can relate to worrying if you're doing a good job managing your diabetes. I use the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor to get real-time glucose readings and see the impact of every meal and activity to make better decisions. The FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor can help me live life with diabetes on my own terms, and it gives me more time for the things I love, like being a dad and a musician. Now this is progress. Learn more at FreeStyleLibre.us.
For prescription only, safety info found at FreeStyleLibre.us.
Hey, it's Austin James. Yes, I'm living with diabetes, but it doesn't have to define me. Thanks to the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor, I get real-time glucose readings throughout the day. The FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor is small and easy to wear, giving me the freedom to focus on my life as a parent and a musician. Now this is progress. You can get a free sensor at FreeStyleLibre.us.
Offer available for people who qualify. Visit MyFreeStyle.us to see all terms and conditions. Certain exclusions apply. Data on file, Abbott Diabetes Care, for prescription only. Safety info found at FreeStyleLibre.us.